Welcome to the Different Functional Podcast, where we explore the triumphs and challenges of trauma recovery and being neurodivergent in a neurotypical world. In today's episode, we're going to be talking all about, well, just like the title says, running on fumes, and more specifically, some tips and tricks on how to do that. I am Autumn, the older sister, and I am very much running on fumes today. And one of the ways I know I'm running on fumes is that I get really, really dysregulated. My temperature goes up and down. I even start getting dizzy. It feels like I'm cold, and I'm not cold, but I'm just shaking. Like you're really, really deep cold in your bones and you can't stop shivering, even though I feel overheated at the same time. It's just my entire system just starts fritzing out on me. And that's how I know, yep, I'm running out of gas.
I can certainly relate to that in many ways, especially the shaking thing. As much as I hate that you experienced that, I am somewhat relieved to hear you say that because I also have experienced that in the past every time I've gotten dysregulated. And I thought that was just a me thing. So I'm glad that that's not the case. But it does suck to be you when you experience that. I am Ivy, the younger sister. And before I get into my fact of the day, I just want to say Autumn might seem like she is talking into a can today. She is in the process of a lot of big changes, one of them being moving. So she is sitting in an empty house today. So if you hear an echo, you'll have to forgive us. There's not a whole lot we can do about that at the moment. Now, as for how I know that I'm running on fumes, which I am also running on fumes, though I am not going through the same sorts of changes that Autumn is at the moment. I am running on fumes, and I know this in part because I am extremely inefficient. That is one of the ways that I know, because I cannot focus to save my fucking life. I can't multitask. I lose track of what I'm doing. Like, basically, all of my ADHD symptoms get a million times worse. And also, I find, and I do think there will be quite a few of you out there that relate to this, I find that the more burnt out I am, the more time I spend sitting in my truck for no reason. I'll drive home, and instead of getting out of my truck and going inside, I will just sit in my truck for an hour and stare off into space or scroll on my phone or watch other people in the parking lot. Just cannot convince myself to get my ass out of my truck and upstairs. So yeah, I imagine there's probably quite a few of you that can relate to that based on the number of things that I see on social media where people are just car sitting to car sit.
I feel like a lot of people probably can relate to that. And I do feel like a lot of people can relate to it because they are also running on fumes. I mean, Ivy and I aren't the only one that are having stress in our life. It seems like everybody around us is overworked, exhausted, terrified of what's going on in the world. And not just like the big world, but even our personal worlds. It feels like things are unraveling on some level or changing faster than we can get a hold of. And a lot of us are just running out of energy. We're doing all the healing work we've had to do. We're doing all of the daily tasks we have to do in order for us to even be able to function. And now it feels like there's even more added on stress, and it's getting exhausting. But what are you going to do? We want to be here and we want you to be here. And so even though we're running out of gas, we still want to try to keep moving forward. And so today we want to talk a little bit about some tips and tricks that Ivy and I are using in our own lives right now to help us conserve our fuel as much as we can so that we can keep moving forward until we can finally get to that gas station and hopefully get a little bit more oomph in our lives.
All right, before we get into this list, because I am the queen of disclaimers, I'm going to throw one your way. So this list will, I think, be super helpful for you. But if this is your first rodeo and you have never felt this overwhelmed and burnt out, this episode, helpful as it may be, probably will not be enough. And there is no shame in turning to a support network, seeking therapy. That would be a great thing to do. We've mentioned it on the podcast before, a great resource for therapy. And it's actually where I found my therapist is Open Path Collective, which you can find a link for that on our website. And I'll put that in the resources page as well. But it's also just in our resources pages in general. So that's a great resource for finding a therapist. If you need additional help through this time, that is totally fine. This is hard. Like, life is hard. Burnout is hard. It is very difficult to get through. You are not the only one struggling right now. You are not failing. There is nothing wrong with you. I mean, we're not okay, but we're okay, if you get what I mean. So if you are having a hard time and this list is not enough to help get you through, please reach out. Please ask for help. Find a therapist. Talk to your support network. Help. Reach out to us. We may not be able to help you much, but we can commiserate at the very least. So yes, whether this is your first rodeo or your 100th rodeo or your millionth rodeo, this is hard and it never stops being hard. There is absolutely no shame in needing help and asking for assistance.
Absolutely no shame at all. I know I would not be here right now or going forward at all if I had not reached out, and I'm continuously reaching out for assistance right now. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into the episode. And the very first tip, I guess, Ivy and I have for running on fumes is know that you're not fine. And I know that seems a little bit ridiculous, but if anybody out there is like me, I feel like I'm always stretched so thin because I am masking all the time, and I am often sensorily overwhelmed, and I have so many struggles and issues that I constantly feel stretched so thin. It can be hard for me to realize that membrane's getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And that's why I talked about at the beginning, realizing, you know, I'm overwhelmed because I'm being dysregulated. That's how I know I'm running on fumes. And it's kind of sad because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff up to that point that I'm not just picking up on. And that's partially because I am stretched thin. And it's partially because my stress load is increasing and I am getting more overwhelmed, and I don't have the time to take a breath and sit back and look at my life. And so luckily for me, because I have frequently been through periods where I run on fumes, I've been able to learn from those and kind of set up some ideas about what to look for and what to check for. Because even right now, I can't honestly sit back and tell you how okay or not okay I am. So I'm going based off my past checklist of saying, okay, yeah, I'm dysregulated. Okay, the headaches are getting out of control again. Oh, look at this. I'm getting sick a lot and my recurring staph infection has come back. And these are all cues that are telling me, hey, Autumn, you have no gas left in the tank. And so I know it does seem a little ridiculous to start there, but once that stress load starts increasing, sometimes we don't realize we're not fine until it's too late. And so I think it's a great idea to set up just those little check marks once you get through this time, because you probably don't have the resources to do it now. But once you get through, to look back and go, okay, this is how I knew. So that way, when this comes up again in the future, you'll be able to recognize it sooner.
Yeah, and you know, I have a feeling that this is something that's actually pretty challenging for a lot of people. It's certainly something that I struggle with as well. I know Gone with the Wind is not particularly PC, but I do think most of us have a little bit of Scarlett O'Hara syndrome. And by that, I mean we stockpile all of our problems on the back burner because I don't have the capacity to think about that today, so I'll think about it tomorrow. And before you know it, you have a ton of pots and pans on those back burners that are just boiling over and there's a huge mess and you're like, oh shit, I didn't realize it had gotten that bad. So yeah, I think that's something that all of us deal with. And it's important to look for, like honestly, like a variety of different things that would be indications. Like if you are experiencing an increase in mental health symptoms, like not being able to multitask, your mood being really volatile, just kind of being all over the place, having heightened anxiety, feeling really depressed, even numbed out, nearly catatonic. If you're having an increase in physical health issues, getting more headaches, feeling more tension, being physically exhausted and tired all the time. I also would say, especially from my ADHDers out there, if you experience an increase in clumsiness or little accidents, that's probably an indication that you're running on fumes too. The more burnt out I am, the more likely I am to constantly be dropping stuff, losing things. For instance, I run my own massage therapy business and I'm mobile. I have lost 3 pillowcases in the last 2 weeks. I've only ever lost a pillowcase once before in the entire like 5 years that I've been doing this, but I'm so burnt out and spread so thin that I have lost 3 pillowcases, which is a lot of my pillowcases. That would not normally happen, but it's because I'm just, my mind's not there. I'm running around too much. I'm missing things. I'm forgetting things. So if you experience an increase in clumsiness, little accidents, forgetting important things, that's a pretty good sign that you're probably feeling pretty burnt out. Or if you feel like the world is out to get you, if you're starting to find yourself in that negative headspace where it just feels like anything that can go wrong will go wrong and it's going wrong because the universe hates you. Yeah, that's a pretty good indication too. And I've actually experienced some of that. I, all day today, even though I know this is ridiculous and it is catastrophizing, all day today, I have been fighting to get myself out of the headspace of thinking, I am a terrible person. Everybody hates me. I ruin people's lives. Just, I hate myself, so I'm assuming everybody else hates me too. I don't generally get that way anymore unless I'm really burnt out and I'm spread super thin and I just feel like I'm falling behind and failing a lot. So these are all ways that you can kind of gauge whether or not you're feeling burnout, because it isn't always obvious. We would think that it is, but we're always, like Autumn said, spread thin. We always have a lot of things going on. And so it's really easy to kind of let yourself fall through the cracks a bit and not realize how much you're struggling until it's too late.
I think Ivy just brought up a couple more things I'm going to have to add to my list, because she was talking about losing things and not being able to find stuff. And I was laughing because both my boyfriend and I, we have no more socks. We've had no more socks for like 2 days. Typically we own like, I don't know, 30 pairs of socks a piece. We have no idea what the clean laundry is versus the dirty laundry anymore. And then even when we do wash it, which happened a couple of weeks ago, half of our socks were just half socks now. So I'm gonna have to add losing things to the list. And then the other one you were talking about, especially because you said having that negative mindset. And for me though, I'm like, okay, is this a negative mindset or is it logical? Because I keep apologizing to my boyfriend for being so fucking annoying to be around and for being so me. But at the same time, I kind of look back and I'm like, no, I'm an asshole right now. So I don't know that that's a negative view or just an actual observation of the fact that I have a really short temper and no tolerance for anything.
Again, you know, that short temper might actually be another good indication that you're running on fumes, because I think most of us can probably relate to that too. I don't see myself as a particularly angry person, but I have been very irritable lately, very irritable over the smallest things. Like my boyfriend makes a joke and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Why would you say something like that? And he was like, I'm literally kidding you. I'm like, oh, well, don't make jokes right now. I don't have the patience for this bullshit. So yeah, I think a lot of us probably get kind of, we do kind of turn into assholes a lot of times when we are burnt out. So yeah, maybe it's not all just catastrophization in your head. Maybe it is kind of a window of self-awareness that maybe we are stretched so thin that we're kind of acting like dickheads.
Well, within reason though, because I think, I laugh a little bit because I've heard this talked about in memes and different things where they combine. So you get like the clumsiness with the short temper. And I don't know about anybody else, but one of the things that happens a lot to me is I get caught on doorknobs. When I used to have long hair, I would get my hair caught on fuck all everything when I was running on fumes. And it always seems to happen more when you're stressed out. And because you have no tolerance, you get caught on a doormat one more time. And then you just rip your clothing off so hard, the fucking doorknob falls off. Like, I've been there.
It's dropping things for me, but this, like, the most irritating thing is not only that I drop it, it's that I can't fucking pick it back up. So I'll drop it and I will try to pick it up like 7 or 8 times, and somehow I keep dropping it or I keep missing it when I go to reach for it because I'm hurrying too much, and then eventually I get so frustrated. I'm like, well, that's it. It lives on the floor forever now. I give up. I'm not doing this anymore.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I've been there too. I have so been there too. All right, so the next, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item on our list here. And that is to use your fuck it's for good. And maybe not everybody gets the fuck it's when they're running on fumes, when they're getting exhausted, when they got nothing left. But Ivy and me definitely do. We're just like, fuck it. I don't even care anymore. I just don't even want to. Because we don't have resources to do anything. But I think those fuck it's can actually help us when we're running on fumes. Like, we can actually use those for good. Like, for example, for me, because I am one of those productivity people and I'm always going and I'm always rushing and I'm always moving. If I can actually let myself say, fuck it, I'm just not doing this right now, I get a break. And that can be so recuperating. Just being able to stop for 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever I can sneak away and just not do anything can actually be replenishing enough that I can then do that task that I decided to say fuck it and blow off later with like a quarter of the time and a quarter of the investment because I've recouped. But it requires me to give in to the fuck it's. And then another one, which is a struggle for me, so I go back and forth on this one right now depending on what resources I have and what area available. But if you can give in to the fuck it's around masking, it can also be really beneficial. For me, one of the things I've really noticed recently is that I have these big expressions and these big facial features and my big gestures with my hands. And I'm really becoming to realize that's part of my mask. I really don't think that I'm this expressive as I typically am showing myself to be. And so I'm trying to draw back on that. You know, I'm still doing the brown nosing and the kowtowing and everything else I have to do to fit in with neurotypical society and not get fired from my job. But I'm also not giving big smiles and I'm not giving fake laughs and I'm not trying to jump in and be part of the crowd so I can get accepted. I'm letting myself be more flat. I'm letting myself be more boring. Because honestly, if you look around, especially at your work, probably a lot of really boring people there. And their jobs are just as secure as yours will be if you're boring and nobody really notices you. And so if you can allow those fuck it's to cut into that masking a little bit, those are resources that you're not having to spend, that you're getting no return on.
Now, I don't know if this is going to be a popular opinion or not, but when I am feeling myself getting especially stretched thin, I start waiting for the fuckets to kick in. Like, I cannot wait for them to kick in. And part of it is because once I reach a certain point, I stop caring. Like, I don't stop caring about people. Like, I still love people. I still have an interest in my life and all of that. But what I mean by I stop caring is that I can reach a point where I'm apathetic enough that the small things I would normally stress about or pressure myself to do or have high expectations for perfection of, I just stop. So I think sometimes there is something liberating in just diving into the fuckets. When you just let it embrace you and you are just cool with the apathy, in some ways you become almost bulletproof. Because once that happens, a lot of the stress just bounces off me. Oh, I spilled coffee all over the floor? Whatever, I'll get to it when I get to it. Oh, I forgot to stop at the grocery store and buy dinner for tonight. Guess I'm going to get creative. I just stop caring as much. And I do kind of feel bulletproof and liberated a little bit. And one of the ways in which that also helps me is that the things that I do still have to do, I just go for it. I don't stress about it as much. I don't pressure myself to be perfect about it. To me, I just kind of look at it as exposure therapy. Or am I afraid to do this thing? Well, to hell with it. I'm just going to have to do it anyway. So let's just go for it. And generally speaking, once I take that attitude, I realize how much unnecessary pressure I put on myself all the time. Because I don't have to be perfect. And neither do you. None of us have to be perfect. But we expect ourselves to be. We hold ourselves to these standards. We berate ourselves when we're not perfect. And sometimes you just have to do the thing and just be fine with the outcome. And I kind of look at that as exposure therapy a little bit. Because a lot of times when I do get burnt out, it's because I have expected too much from myself for too long and I just have to stop. But I can't stop until the fuckets kick in. So I don't know about other people, but I actually get a little excited when I feel the apathy kick in because I know I'm about to actually be able to be more productive without draining myself as much.
That's actually really a good point about the apathy, kind of increasing your confidence and making you feel a little bit more bulletproof. I do think that is one thing I wish I could take from my running on fumes time into my regular life. Because right now, a lot of people might see it as catastrophization, but I've kind of call it this autism hack because I get really upset and escalated when things aren't how they should be. And so if I set an expectation and it's not met, I'm really, really, really upset. And it's hard for me to have to deal with that. And so when I do go into these running on fumes times, one of the things I do for my autism is say, everything is a fucking shit show now. Everything is going to be horrible. And I know that sounds like catastrophization. And honestly, if I'm not running on fumes, it probably is because I'm going to ruminate on it and be so anxious about it. But when I have this complete exhaustion with this total surety that the fucking world is going to just destroy everything I want to have happen, then I don't get upset about anything. Because when anything goes wrong, like Ivy said, you spill something on the floor. For me, it's like, oh, well, that was to be expected. And then I can just deal with the situation as opposed to being stuck in my autistic mind going, but it shouldn't have happened, but it shouldn't have happened, but it shouldn't have happened. Because now I'm like, oh no, that should have happened. And my autism is like, great, things are happening that should be happening. And I don't have to expend energy on having to deal with that part. And now I can just clean up the mess on the floor.
I am actually kind of amused by that because I have a little bit of the same mentality. And I mentioned earlier about how one of the ways that you can tell that you're burnt out is you kind of feel like the universe is out to get you. And the reason why I feel so liberated and bulletproof when the fuckets kick in is because, yes, I am expecting worst case scenario. So when worst case scenario comes at me, I'm like, I saw that, universe. I knew you were going to pull some bullshit and you can't touch me. You can't touch me. And I feel like I'm getting won over on the universe. I know that's stupid and silly, but it gives me a sense of pride because I'm like, you could not throw the curveball at me that you thought because I am a master of catastrophization. I knew exactly what was going to happen and you can't touch me. I don't even care because I saw it coming a mile away. Under other circumstances, I don't think the universe is out to get me and I'm not trying to stick it to the universe. But when the fuckets kick in, feeling like you're sticking it to the universe actually can be kind of helpful sometimes. Certainly gives you a confidence boost when you feel like you're getting one over on the universe by not being as much of a mess as you should be when things go wrong.
I totally agree with that. It feels like you're taking back some control of your life, even if it's ridiculous and silly. All right, so kind of tied in with that, I think as well, is just our next one on the list, which is toning it down. And it's kind of using that apathy and the fuck it's, but at the same time, it's more just consciously doing that. Not necessarily even waiting for the apathy or allowing the apathy to do anything, but making that conscious decision to say, hey, I'm not going to invest resources in this. And somebody invites you to a party and you don't want to go, don't go. Or for me, one of the biggest struggles I have is I am an overperformer. I see the objective that needs to be met. And instead of meeting it 100%, I want to meet it at 150% because I'm terrified of getting fired and ending up homeless because of all this other issues I have going on. And so I'm constantly giving 150, 200% at work. But I've come to realize that work really only expects most people to give about 40% of the objective. And so I've tried phoning it in at my current job that I just started. I'm just doing what I feel like I can do as I can do it. And what I found out is that I'm still meeting all the objectives. I'm still a high performer. I'm still coming in at probably 80, 90, and some days 100% of what they want me to do. And so I'm still secure in my job because I'm outperforming a lot of the people around me. They don't understand necessarily that I'm only giving them a quarter or 50% of what I could, which I think is really also very healthy for me. Because if I can learn to do this all the time, maybe I won't be running on fumes so much because I'm not giving my resources out to everybody continuously and constantly. And with that too, one of the other things I've been doing is really acknowledging that I do have limited resources. I am really coming to accept the fact that I am disabled, and that's okay. It's okay for me to be disabled. It's okay for me to struggle with functioning and to accept those limitations. Because part of the reason I am experiencing so much more of the physical health problems and probably the mental health problems as well is because I keep pushing through, trying to just function. It's not like I'm hustling, trying to make money and I'm working all these side gigs. No, I'm pushing through for basic functioning. I'm pushing through so I can maintain hygiene and show up at work. That's what I'm pushing through to do right now is basic functioning. And I'm really having to revisit and go, okay, apparently I can't always do that. And so I'm starting to try to accept my limitations more and figure out, sadly, what part of basic functioning can I cut out of my life or reduce as much as possible so that I can make it through this period. But it is hard to accept that, especially for me, when you realize that what you're pushing through isn't like some big, amazing goal or to make $1 million or to do this great life-changing thing. What you're pushing through is just to survive. And knowing that is so hard can be a super struggle. Like, I was literally just crying about that to my boyfriend an hour before this episode because it's not necessarily even a personal thing about me and, oh, I don't want to be disabled. But this is a practical issue and I don't know how to deal with this because I still need to go to work and I still need to be able to do these things to live. And so how do I accommodate my disability and still function? But if you can find a way to start accepting those limitations, which I'm doing right now, it has been really beneficial because when I do let things slide and I'm not quite functional, I can go, hey, but that's okay. That's okay. We're just making it through right now.
I would agree that both of those things are very helpful. Like, we all have to accept our limitations, whether we are disabled or not. Like, everybody has limitations, and it is really important to be able to accept those and to not expect the absolute most from yourself all the time, especially when you have a lot going on, you're going through a lot of big changes, or you're just at your wit's end for whatever reason. It's reasonable to accept that you have limitations, that you have limited resources, and there is nothing wrong with that, and try to find ways to work around it. Now, this next one might be like a little unorthodox, but it is something that I keep in mind personally. So when something good happens, when you are burning out, you've got a lot going on, you're stretched thin, but then something really good happens and you're supposed to be very excited about it and you're not. And then you feel terrible that you're not being grateful enough or that you can't get up the enthusiasm about this success that you've had. And first of all, that's bullshit. Like, you feel the way that you feel, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't matter how many wonderful things might happen. If you are stretched thin and you don't have the capacity to have that enthusiasm, there's nothing wrong with that. But one of the things that I would also say is, like, part of the reason why I think sometimes we struggle to be excited about some of our successes is because many successes also bring additional responsibilities. You got a promotion at work? Congratulations, here's more work. You just bought a house? Congratulations, here's more debt. You just found out that you're pregnant? Congratulations, you have this responsibility for at least the next 18 years and in some ways for the rest of your life. And while those things can also be exciting, feeling weighed down a little bit by the additional responsibilities that come with those things is also okay. And you're not being ungrateful by feeling the weight of that pressure. There is a certain amount of burden that comes with success. You know, it's that whole great power comes with great responsibility. It's similar to that. Like when we are successful at something, a lot of times it is kind of leveling up. And every time you level up, the challenges get a little bit harder. You have more weight on your shoulders. There's more responsibilities associated with it. So if you find that you're one of those people that has been working really hard, that's been pushing yourself to the absolute limit, and you're feeling so worn out, and then something good happens and you feel like an asshole because you can't work up the enthusiasm to be excited about it, don't feel bad about it. You don't have to pressure yourself to be excited about successes and victories. You are where you are right now. Like you're in the headspace that you're in. You're doing what you can to get by. You're not ungrateful. You're not a terrible person. It's not a personal failing if you can't seem to work up the enthusiasm to be excited about successes. And then the other thing that I would say is no excuses. Now, usually when we hear no excuses, it's kind of like that, like hustle culture, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, no excuses for why you can't work every single hour, every single day. You don't need sleep, fuck sleep. That's usually the kind of mentality that goes with no excuses. But what we mean when we say no excuses is no excuses for bleeding yourself dry, because that is something that we tend to do when we are stretched thin, when we have so much going on and we're stuck in that cycle of burnout and it feels like we can never catch up and we can never be good enough and we're always failing, we're always falling short of our own expectations and the expectations of other people. We do tend to make excuses for why we have to keep going, why we have to keep doing the thing, why we have to follow through on these responsibilities, why we have to keep the certain standard of quality in whatever work that we're doing. And what that's doing is ultimately, you just keep cutting yourself open. You're bleeding out all over the place and you're making excuses for why you have to keep cutting yourself open. We really need to break out of the whole kind of hustle culture attitude around, it doesn't matter how miserable you are. The only thing that matters is sacrifice. And if you are not pushing yourself to the absolute limit, if you're not making absolutely every sacrifice, if you are not miserable, you will never be successful. That's bullshit. Can we stop doing that? Because it's not helping anybody. That does more harm than good. Yes, there are times when you do have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you just have to do the thing. But a lot of times we build up in our heads all of these pressures and responsibilities. And like Autumn was saying earlier about phoning it in, we push ourselves harder than we usually need to. Most other people are not expecting us to push ourselves that hard. We think that they do. We think we have to do these things. We are all up in our heads about all the things that we have to do and the level of perfection at which we have to do them. And the truth of the matter is, pretty much nobody is expecting that from you. And part of why they're not expecting it from you is because everybody else is struggling to do the exact same thing. So don't be so hard on yourself and don't make excuses for continually cutting yourself open to bleed out everywhere because you think you have to be perfect and you think you have to be productive 100% of the time. You are not Superman. You're not a demigod. Don't expect stupidly impossible things from yourself. Even if it is possible, is it really worth it if you have no quality of life?
That one is really hard because I can always come up with excuses and reasons why I can't stop right now or I have to do this task. And that's usually when I get crippling headaches and lose all my functioning because I've pushed past a point I should have listened to earlier. You know, and the other thing you were talking about is, you know, don't feel that pressure to be excited because it does come with that debt. But also I feel just the emotion right now is exhausting for me. Like whether it's sadness or anger or even happiness or joy or elation, all emotion is exhausting. And so I'm doing what I usually do with my negative emotions. I'm also doing with my positive emotions, which is I'm just going to stuff that in a box and I'll deal with it later. And the thing is though, I will deal with it later. When I'm able to get to a more plateaued place in my life, I will open the box and process it all. But the nice thing is now I don't just have the negative stuff to process, which is usually what I do. Now I have some really fun stuff in there. So it's like a surprise box. So I'm kind of excited about that.
You know, I actually have a term for that because I have to do the same thing when I'm feeling burnt out, or just for the most part, actually, in general, since emotions and emotional expression are a challenge for me and always have been, and it's something I'm still working on in therapy. I get very easily overwhelmed by emotions. And anytime that I do feel an emotion too strongly, whether it's positive or negative, I always have consequences the next day. There is fallout, and I refer to it as an emotional hangover because I feel hungover. Like, I partied too much the day before, and anytime I feel an emotion too strongly, I get an emotional hangover. So maybe try to avoid emotional hangovers. Like, if you were really at that point where you just have limited capacity, maybe, like Autumn said, just shove it away in a box. You can deal with it later. And the fact that you're shoving away some good stuff too means it's like a mystery bag that you buy at the dollar store. You don't know what you're going to get.
You don't know what you're going to get, which is a little frightening, but I'll be frightened in the future. It's fine. Okay, so the next tip we have is pretty sensible. Take a break. And we are not talking like, oh, take a vacation or take a week off. We are right here with you with no gas and no money and no resources. We mean literally fit in downtime wherever the fuck you can fit in some downtime. Find the tiny escape. If you are sitting on the toilet peeing and that is the only time you have to yourself during the entire day, take your phone and watch TikTok or read a book or do nothing but stare at the tile on the wall. Use your bathroom time for good. Make the bathroom time last longer. Who cares if people think you have painful, stinky poops that are taking forever? Good, maybe they will stay further away and not demand things from you. So find ways to escape. And one of the ways I love to escape, and I am having to do this on a regular basis, like this is my daily medicine almost that I'm taking, is indulging in humor. I am going on either YouTube or TikTok or Facebook, and I'm finding the funny animal videos, like one where it's got the doggies with all the zoomies and there's like five different clips, or I'm going and watching some stand-up comedy 5-minute bit, but I'm finding things to laugh at. And when me and my boyfriend do have just a little bit more that day, we try to throw out the double entendres and the stupid puns. And we try to work with each other to also create some humor, because that can really help alleviate things too. So those are kind of my two things as far as take a break, because right now there's so much to do. Taking a break is, it feels impossible, but I do promise you, you can find 20 seconds here, 10 seconds there, 2 minutes there to just take a moment and maybe find something to laugh at.
Yeah, and kind of as a continuation of that thought a little bit, one of the things that I do is allow myself some guilty pleasures. And for me, taking a break at all is a guilty pleasure, because since I do struggle with efficiency and I always have tasks that pile up because I don't manage to get everything done, I have this expectation most of the time that I need to be productive 100% of the time. And if I cannot think of a task to do, I panic a little bit because I'm like, I know there must be something that I'm forgetting to do. There's no way I actually have free time. I can't have free time. I'll clean the house because then I'll feel like I'm being productive. So for me, even taking a break at all is a little bit of a guilty pleasure. And the things that I indulge in are things that they rot my brain and I don't care. Like, I have to consciously choose to not care about rotting my brain a little bit. I don't watch trash TV. I'm not really big into watching reality TV shows. Mostly because I'd have to like focus for too long. But what I do is watch a lot of commentary channels on YouTube where they comment on trash reality TV. And I will indulge in that as like my background noise or just the thing that I do with my quote unquote free time. I will focus in on that for like hours or days at a time because I don't have the capacity for anything else. Like, I feel guilty a lot of times if I am not using that, you know, downtime or whatever to improve myself in some way. Read a self-help book or learn something new or whatever. But fact of the matter is, when I'm feeling really burnt out, I don't have the capacity to intellectually improve myself. Sometimes I do just have to sit around and watch some commentary about some stupid, ridiculous show on TLC. Or sometimes I do just have to scroll through reels on Instagram and watch some dude do something stupid, like manage to hit himself in the nuts with a bowling ball. Like, that is my guilty pleasure. It does not improve me in any way, shape, or form. It is a huge waste of time. I do feel guilty when I do it, but you know, sometimes you need to. Sometimes you do need those guilty pleasures. And it's fine if you feel guilty when you're doing it, as long as you do it. Because even though you may beat yourself up a little bit, you still need that downtime. You still need to free up space in your brain. Do something mindless. Do something that's a little bit of a guilty pleasure. Don't expect yourself to be productive all the time, or improving yourself all the time, or providing for other people all the time. You have to take some time for yourself to do something that is just brain rot, or that just makes you physically feel better for a while or something. We all need a little bit of that from time to time. And when all else fails, if you can convince yourself to do it, just sit on your ass for a while. Like, seriously, just straight up take a break. If you can, just sit around, do nothing. That is part of the reason why I do a lot of car sitting when I'm burnt out. Do I feel guilty the entire time I'm doing it? Generally, yes, I do. But it does actually help me, if I'm honest with myself, to just sit on my ass in the car where I can't really do much of anything that's productive. I do just have to sit there and kind of reset my brain, let myself space out, give my brain a little bit of breathing room, because that's essentially what we're doing. We're just giving our brains and bodies a little bit of breathing room when we take a break. And if you're somebody like me who can't really do that very well, if there's anything in your immediate environment that you could be productive with, maybe you do just need to find a space, an environment where you have no other option but to just sit around on your ass for a little bit and give yourself some breathing room and some space.
One of my life hacks for that is try to set up your appointments so that you have to wait a little bit. When I'm running low on fumes, I love when I have to go to a doctor's appointment and sit in the waiting room for like 30 minutes, because it's just me and the highlights magazine. Just make sure that you gave yourself enough time for that doctor's appointment. But it's a really valid excuse to do nothing, because, well, you're literally in a waiting room. It is now your job to wait, which means doing nothing. In my mind anyways, hopefully. Okay, so the next tip on our list is to get in touch with your spiritual side. And that can mean, you know, typical religious belief, or it could mean just overall general feeling of the universe or powers that be. It can be whatever spirituality means to you, but try to reach up to a little bit of a higher plane, or open yourself up to a little bit of a higher plane of existence. And try to draw some comfort from that if you can. Like right now, I am choosing, actively, hardcore, spitefully choosing to believe that things are happening for a reason or for my benefit, that the energies of the universe are opening a path that is most prime for me. Do I think somewhat that that is bullshit on a regular daily basis? Yes. Am I, however, choosing to cling to that like a six-year-old girl with the covers, knowing that the covers will protect her from the monsters? Yes. These are my monster-protecting covers right now, is believing that things are happening for a reason. Believing that also gives me a reason for hope, because when I start thinking, okay, these things are happening for a reason, I then start going, oh, a reason, what could that reason be? And that gives me time to look at something more positive. So right now I'm in the middle of a transitionary period, which is going on 6 months of horror and really bad living situation. And I'm like, okay, this is all happening for a reason, good lessons. And I look at my past and I go, okay, I struggled there and I struggled there, but look at what happened because of it. And so by believing that things might be happening for a reason, it turns my face to the possible light of a future, of hope, of some time being a little less stressful than now. And so that's why I say, if you can open yourself up to a greater plane, it kind of gives you a space to step back a little bit and not be just so clenched tightly into the moment.
I absolutely agree with both of those things. It's something that I always try to carry with me no matter what struggles I'm going through in life. And I know some people just think, oh, everything is coincidence and nothing really matters and all of that. But I've never been one of those people. I've always very much had that sense that things are happening for a reason. And if they're not happening for some higher reason, I am going to make a reason out of them, by God. And so that is something that I try to hold on to. And this year, especially, I've been trying to take a page out of the Zen book, if you will. So like three of the things that I've really been focusing on this year are detachment from outcome. I do have a bit of control freak in me. I don't try to control other people so much, but I do very much try to control myself and my environment and like my personal circumstances. And that usually ends up biting me in the ass, because I fight the tide and then I get pulled in by the undertow And then when I pop back out, I have to remind myself that that's really dumb and I shouldn't do that. So I am trying very hard to detach from the outcomes this year and just stop fighting the tide, stop fighting the universe. If I am going to make the conscious choice to believe that things are happening for a reason and they will be to my benefit, then I need to let the universe work its magic instead of always trying to get one over on it. That's still empowering every once in a while to, you know, take a jab at the universe, but it's a playful jab. But most of the time, I am trying to kind of pull back and stop trying to force things to go a certain way and accept that if there's an obstacle that comes up, this obstacle will be to my benefit. Maybe this obstacle is coming up right now because the timeline needs to not be what I want it to be. Maybe things need to take a little bit longer because I'm headed for something even better or because I need to learn something before I get to that next step. Just trying to detach from the outcome, stop trying to control everything and give myself some breathing room, but also give the universe a little bit of room to work with me and try to help me and try to benefit me. And I've also been really trying to foster a sense of curiosity instead of desperately trying to control things or instead of getting frustrated and upset or worrying constantly or nitpicking or overanalyzing. I've been trying to just see things from a space of objective curiosity, which does kind of come with that detachment from outcomes. If I can look at things more from a space of being curious, it does take some of the pressure off of me. If I don't absolutely have to do something with whatever this is, if I can just look at it and think, huh, I wonder what's going to happen next, or huh, I wonder what this could lead to, or why this is happening, instead of being like, why the fuck is this happening to me? And why can't I do anything about it? Why can't I fix this? I'm trying really hard to just allow opportunities to come to me and try to find creative ways around my need to control. And I'm trying to find ways to express myself or to discover myself that are outside of my normal box. Like one of the things that I've been doing recently over the last few years, I very much have felt like I have lost a substantial part of myself. Like I've not felt connected to my own femininity. And that is something that I've really been struggling with recently for whatever reason. And normally I would just basically ruminate on that. And I'd beat myself up for all the decisions that I made that brought me to this space where I've kind of lost myself or whatever. But instead, what I've done is I've tried to go into it with the mindset that like, okay, well, if I have lost my sense of self in this way, if I have disconnected from my sense of femininity, that means I can just rebuild it from scratch. Like I don't even have to look at what I used to feel like when I felt more feminine. I can decide something entirely new now. And so I'm trying to explore things from that space of curiosity. So like I'm taking a pole dancing class now. It's like a 6-week class. And I would never have done that in the past. I would have been way too terrified to do it, but I'm just going for it because I don't know what it could lead to. I don't know in what ways it might help me connect to my femininity. And so instead of me using my old tactics, it didn't work. I've just been trying to approach everything from a space of curiosity and that sense of what if? What if I did this thing? What if this is happening for my benefit? What if I took this risk? What if I saw this as an opportunity? What if? And I think when you do this, when you are trying to have the detachment from outcome and you are trying to just approach everything with curiosity, you also have to accept that you are going to be riding the wave. And that wave can get really big and scary, or it can be very calm and pleasant, but you don't know what it's going to be until you are on that wave. And because of that, you do have to be gentle with yourself and have a little bit of compassion for yourself and expect that you'll be a little all over the place. Expect that you'll be oscillating a little bit, that you will be dysregulated. I am trying to take every day as it comes, and I mean that not just the circumstances that I'm finding myself, but also my own headspace, because some days are great. Yesterday, I was in a really good headspace. I was just feeling like in the flow of life and things felt good, and I just felt like everything was on the right track. And I even had like a couple of moments that I would consider to be euphoric. And then today, I woke up this morning and I was more or less okay. And then all of a sudden I was like, I hate myself. I hate myself. Everybody else must hate me too. I'm a terrible person. What the fuck is wrong with me? And I'm not judging myself for having those feelings. I am just looking at it again from a space of detachment and thinking, okay, well, this just comes with the territory. Lots of things are changing internally and externally. I have a lot on my plate. I am stretched thin. This is to be expected, that I will be a little all over the place, that I'm gonna feel a lot of different things, and I'm gonna be kind of riding that emotional roller coaster, and this is just the wave that I am on. And instead of fighting it and getting pulled down by the undertow, I could just choose to ride it. I could just try to get real good at surfing. I could try to just learn that skill of acceptance and just taking things as they come.
I really love that concept of riding the wave. Okay, I hate the concept of riding the wave because it goes against my very grain in nature. But I do find trying to foster that sort of mentality is very beneficial. And I actually heard first about ride the wave. That was a phrase that a coworker of mine, a wonderful practitioner of karate that I used to work with in the mental health industry, she would say that to me a lot, just ride the wave, because she wasn't easygoing, because I feel like she was a very serious and very dedicated person, but she had this ability to to pivot with whatever the needs were and to not sweat it. And that's how she always threw it at me, was you got to ride the wave. And I have been doing my best since I first heard of that from her to really incorporate that into my life. And it has been hard, and it's taken a lot of effort during my good times to be more free-going and spontaneous and willing to pivot. But the work that I put in during my better times has been so beneficial for me now, because it used to be even lowering the expectations with my autism wasn't enough. And I would still get that hang up, and I'd still get that catch, and I'd still get that rumination that comes with the autism. But when I add that ride the wave to it, when I add that pivot, it's not just, oh, all of these horrible things are going to happen, but also I do have some control in the situation. I can't control the situation, but I can control myself in the situation. And so when these bad, horrible things happen, I can dodge out of the way, and I can dip over here, and I can ride the wave, and I can pivot. And so if that is something you do struggle with, I would definitely advocate for you during your good times, when you get your gas tank full, put in some effort to learning how to ride that wave and to foster that curiosity and foster that sense of detachment any way that you can. Because like Ivy said, that can be so helpful right now. And when you let go of those attachments, you are able to be more free to do what you need to do and have more resources to do them. All right, so the next tip on our list, I feel like this one's a pretty sensible one too. Take care of yourself. But I'm going to call this one easier said than done. Like, it's a really nice idea, but when do you have time for that? Because like I said earlier, I'm pushing through for basic functioning to get myself to work, to get the bills paid, to feed the dogs. When am I supposed to find time for self-care? Because right now that feels like a privilege that is not afforded to me. And so that is a really nice idea that I would love to do, but I have no resources to do it, even if I could find the time or money to make that happen. And so when I look at taking care of myself when I'm running at fumes, I go basic. And I mean abso-fucking-lutely basic, like primal, like food, sex, sleep. Like, that's where I'm at. I'm like, safety, food, sex, sleep. That's all I'm really focused on right now. And so I'm making sure that I eat regularly. I'm like, okay, I know if I don't eat right, or I don't eat frequently enough, I'm gonna have serious issues and this is gonna go problem. And so I have gone out and I have spent extra money on foods that are already prepared, that are easily accessible, that are fairly healthy. And no, I don't really have that money to spend, but if I don't spend it and I don't eat correctly, I'm not gonna have any money to spend because I'm gonna end up losing my job because I can't even function for that. And so I do focus on those super, super basic things. And like sleep, that's another one right now. I'm trying to get as much possible sleep as I can. If that means I only get 6, then I take advantage to get the 6. If I can get in 12 or 14 on a down day, I'm getting in 12 or 14. I am doing all those really, really, really basic things right now to take care of myself. And so when I say take care of yourself, I'm not meaning the big stuff. I'm not meaning spa days and bubble baths even. I'm just meaning, hey, maybe you could try to brush your teeth today because they feel clean and it feels nice. So go basic with it. One of the other things I do, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but this works for me, is I avoid success stories and daydreams. When I am struggling, focusing on people that are happy or focusing on scenarios where everything is all right, it breaks my heart because I don't have that right now. Right now I am hurting and right now I am uncomfortable. And I can live in the pain and I can live in the discomfort and it starts to deaden a little bit. But when I look over and I see somebody else's life being so much better, or I allow myself to daydream about a positive future, instead of making things better for me, a lot of times that makes things worse because then I see that disparity and it wakes all of my senses up anew to the pain and discomfort that I'm currently in. And so I think this one is really dependent on how those things work for you. But one of the ways I have to take care of myself is I don't look at success stories right now and I don't let myself daydream. I just keep myself quietly, gently in the moment and force through, and that's it. And if I do think about a future at all, I just look at it as neutral. It'll be like what it is now, where I'm just riding the wave and pivoting and doing what I need to do to continue to exist.
I, for one, don't think that that's an unreasonable thing. I have definitely had periods of time in my life where I did have to avoid seeing other people be happy. And it wasn't because, well, I want them to be as miserable as I am. It wasn't anything like that. It's just sometimes when you are really having a hard time, it hurts to see other people doing well, because it's just a reminder that you're not and you can't be where you want to be right now. And so I don't think that that's unreasonable. And I don't think it's like a bad thing to feel those emotions of like envy or whatnot. I think it's a very human thing that most of us, if not all of us, do experience. And sometimes you can't handle it. The daydreaming part, that is one where Autumn and I do differ a little bit, because for me, that is kind of part of self-care. I am very much an escapist at heart. I spend a lot of time in my head. And if I don't sometimes cultivate what is going on inside my head to be pretty and nice, it turns to shit very quickly and I get stuck in that. And it's a rapid downward spiral into terribleness. And so I do actually daydream as part of my self-care, because I need a break from all of the negative things in my head. And I need to just believe for at least for a little bit that things, even if they're not okay right now, are going to be much better in the future. That is part of what I was doing yesterday, actually. That's why I was in a good headspace. And I even had a few moments where I was feeling kind of euphoric. I was mostly in daydreams all day yesterday, because the day before that had been shit. It had been terrible, not just inside my head, but outside of my head in my real world. And I needed that break because I was feeling so worn down and hopeless that daydreaming was the only thing that managed to like pull me out of that. One of the other things that I have been doing is really trying to simplify my life as much as I possibly can, because I just don't have the same amount of capacity. I can't handle as many things right now. I'm already inefficient. It already takes me way longer to complete even simple tasks. So one of the things that I did right at the beginning of the year is I cut off a bunch of my hair. My hair had gotten really long. I'd been working on growing it out for years. And then at the beginning of this year, I thought, you know, I'm just fucking sick of it. It gets caught on everything and it takes so much time and it just feels heavy and I'm hot all the time because my hair is so long and it's so thick. I am just so done with this. This will cut off so much extra time in the morning getting myself together. I'm just gonna do it. So I've been doing things like that, just finding little ways to make my life as simple as I possibly can. And I personally think that's a really great form of self-care. Anything that you can do to make your routine, your daily life easier, to streamline it, to just assembly line your way through things when you're feeling burnt out or when you know you have a lot going on or a lot of big changes coming up, I think that's super helpful. And the biggest thing that I'm really trying to do is cut my losses. I am trying very hard not to fall into the sunk cost fallacy, because I do tend to be very dogged. And if I start on something, I feel like I have to do the thing. And part of the reason why I have that is that, like, as an ADHDer in the past, I've had so many things that I just kind of left half done, just a trail of half done, half completed things, you know, books that I read half of, art projects that I only did half of, goals that I gave up on halfway through. And so as I've gotten older, I've put more pressure on myself to complete the thing, to do the thing, to follow through no matter what. And sometimes that is foolhardy. For example, last weekend, Autumn and I tried to record an episode. We'd put the notes together in advance. We sat down, we struggled through for, I don't know, like a half hour, 40 minutes, something like that. And we got to like a certain point in the notes and it was my turn to talk. And I struggled a little bit. And then eventually I was like, Autumn, am I the only one that this doesn't make sense to? Because this just seems like it's not working. I feel like we tried to take two completely different ideas and just jam them together and it's not working and I can't wrap my head around it. And we talked about it. And even though it was kind of like, well, we need to do something, we eventually got to a space where we recognized, okay, this is not working. These notes are not working. This episode idea is not working. Neither of us is in the headspace for this. Neither of us is on top of it. Fuck it. Let's just call it a night. We'll put together notes instead for a different episode. Just scrap the whole thing, because if we continue fighting this, we're going to be at it for hours and hours and hours, and we're going to end up with a shit product, and we're both going to be frustrated, and it's going to be a pain in the ass to edit. So let's just call it quits. And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to look at the situation that you're in and say, this is not working. This goal that I'm working towards, it's not panning out. This relationship that I am cultivating with this person, it's just not working out. And it's not just a matter of things have gotten hard. It's just not fucking meshing. It's not working. And I think it's important for us to have those moments of realization and stop always just trying to push through and push through and push through because we've already put effort into it or because we've already invested money in it. That is one of those things about human psychology that trips us up so much, is believing that because we've made an investment in something, we have to see it through to the end, no matter what the cost is. And that is not always true, because sometimes you get far enough into something and you realize this is not workable. This is not salvageable. I would be better to cut my losses and just sacrifice what I've already invested in it and just choose to invest in something else that is more likely to be successful. And personally, I see that as a form of self-care, because otherwise you are going to run yourself into the ground just trying desperately to complete this thing or do this thing or have this thing when it is just not going to happen. And that's not trying to be pessimistic. It's just a fact. Not everything we embark on, not everything we invest on is something that is going to work out. And sometimes the best thing that we can do for ourselves is accept the fact that we have given it our all and it's just not going to work. And you just have to cut your losses sometimes and move on to something else.
That is one that I absolutely struggle so hardcore with. And it's not even just cutting your losses on it, like thing, and like completely scrapping it. But even if you don't completely scrap it, just taking that break, saying, I don't have to do this right now, or I'm not capable of doing this right now. That is one I am struggling with so hardcore. And it is, this is one of my, see, the universe is helping me learn lessons. It's really hard for me because I think that is one of the things that causes me issues, because I do push through because I get this idea in my head and it has to be done and I can't take a break and I have to do it now. And if I don't, I don't know, I guess the world's going to end or something. And so I just get so caught up in having to complete it. But right now my resources are so thin that every time I get into that spiral, I end up breaking down. And I have to self-harm to get out of it. And then I end up with a 1 to 3 day headache because the amount of stress and tears and crying. And so I am getting a crash fucking course in learning to cut my losses and to take a fucking break, because I'm terrified now. Like, I start getting to that point, like, oh, well, I have to get this done. I'm like, oh shit. No, I don't. It's okay. I don't need to hurt myself and be incapacitated for 2 days. I'm learning my lesson, universe. Please make this stop. So I am getting a crash course in that. We'll see how it works once I get some more gas in my tank, though. You know, I think another way that we kind of take care of ourselves, too, is leaning on people. And I guess this could be its own thing, but just that it's all right to lean in general. And maybe not even just on people, but for me right now, I'm leaning on some of those anti-hero coping skills. I mean, we did an episode about it a while back. Like Ivy was saying, the stuff that rots your brain, is it good for you? Is it helpful? No. Do I need to eat an entire bag of chips tonight? No. But I am leaning on some of these coping skills to get me through right now. And one of them that I am leaning on, and I'll admit this, is marijuana. I've been using a lot of it lately. It's very luckily for me legal in the states that I've been living in here the past few months. But I always thought, you know, I'd really want to address all of my issues. And so I was always avoiding using any sort of substance that would help me get through, even if it was like a prescribed medication from a doctor. I didn't even want to do that, or I didn't even want to do just regular herbal supplements on a regular basis. And so I struggled a lot with this initially, saying, you know, should I do this? I'm just, you know, am I being a drug addict? Because we do have addiction in our family. And so I'm terrified of being that person. And I looked at it and go, no. I'm doing what I need to do to make it through an extremely stressful time, because I know that I am working and creating plans and making a future where this is not going to be my life forever. But if I want to see that future, I have to get through now. And I'll be honest, it has been really hard. I have been not actively, but suicidality has become a consistent part of my life once again for probably the last month. Every morning I wake up and I want to die because I'm so exhausted. And that's just what it is right now. And don't worry, anybody in the listening audience, I'm not going to. I've struggled with suicidality a lot in my life, and I am not going to take that route. I make very sure that I have set my life up in such a way that I will not take that route. But it's there, and I hate having those thoughts, and I hate having those desires. And the marijuana helps with that. The marijuana helps with the vast amounts of pain I am having from all the headaches, and it helps me not be so fucking stressed out all the time. And so right now I am using it quite a bit, but I know that in the future, once things settle down, I'm trusting myself to go back to who I was and to be that person that does work through the issues and use the coping skills and learn the methods so that I don't have to rely so fully and solely on one or two options in my life. And so I would say on that note, it's also can be really helpful during these times to lean on things that maybe you don't see as the healthiest, but if they don't seriously harm you and they help you get through in the short term, and you know what you're going through right now is short term, sometimes you have to make some allowances for some of those negative things.
I would definitely agree with that. Like it's something that I've struggled with before too, and that I still struggle with when I'm going through particularly hard times. It's like sometimes we don't have the capacity, even with a full tool belt of healthy coping skills, sometimes you just lack the capacity to only use those healthy coping skills. And when that happens, sometimes you do fall back on things that maybe are not super great for you. You try to go for the things that are the least destructive, but you do recognize that these things are probably not the best for you. Like I mentioned, I tend to be an escapist. I have to be very careful not to let myself fall completely into daydreams, because then I just won't do anything. I won't get anything done because I can spend all the time in my head and things are happier there. I've had to use marijuana before in the past. It's been a long time since I have, but there was like a 6-month period of time in 2020 where I just could not cope. And so I was using marijuana edibles every single night to help me sleep, because otherwise I couldn't sleep. My mind was racing constantly. And I hated it because, like Autumn, with our family history of addiction, I was real worried about becoming that person, becoming our parents, essentially. And I also had to come to the same conclusion that, no, this is a temporary solution. This will not go on forever. And I will make sure it does not go on forever. But I am under extreme duress right now. And I have to do something. And this is what I have the capacity for right now. And so I don't think that there's shame in that. It is something you want to be aware of and careful with. And like Autumn said, you want to be certain that this is a temporary solution to a temporary problem, and it will not overtake your entire life, because there are lots of vices that will do that. So you do have to be careful with it, but I do think that it is actually sometimes not only helpful, but necessary. And as much as I am loath to admit this, it is also sometimes necessary to lean on people around you. If you've been a listener to the podcast for a while, you know that this is the bane of my existence, because I am somebody who is hyper independent and I very much try to be my own island, even though I know that that's not always the best thing for me. In fact, usually is not the best thing for me. Humans are communal creatures. We are pack animals, and I have a very hard time accepting that. But sometimes you do have to lean on people. I am going through some crazy shit in my life right now that's only going to get crazier in the near future here. And I don't know what exactly my life is going to look like. I don't know what financially I'm going to be able to afford. I don't know what headspace I'm going to be in. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty in these next few months for me. I just don't know what's going to happen. But what I do know is that much as I would love to, I cannot completely handle it on my own. And so I have been reaching out to people who are close to me that I trust, letting them kind of know sort of what I do know about what's on my horizon and what kind of headspace I'm in. And I have certain people in my life that I'm leaning on more for emotional support. And I have other people in my life that I'm leaning on in more practical ways. And I'm trying to kind of spread it out. I don't want to make any one person my anchor. If I am going to, in my mind, if I'm going to burden somebody, I would like to spread it out a little bit so it doesn't feel so burdensome to any one particular person. But it is sometimes necessary to lean on others for support. There are literally times when, try as we might, no matter how independent we are, no matter how much we don't want to burden other people, we do need help. And there is nothing wrong with that, which is something I have to keep reminding myself of. It is not a personal failing. You are not truly a burden to the people that love you. The people that love you want to be there for you. And it's fine. This is not you being dependent. It's not you being an asshole. It's not you just taking advantage of people. Sometimes you do need help. That is true of all of us. And I am trying to approach myself in much the same way that I would respond to a loved one who was coming to me for help. If Autumn came to me for help, or any of my other loved ones, I would not be like, well, that sounds like a real personal problem and I don't want to deal with that because I'm living my own life and fuck you. Like, I would never do that. And so I am really trying to remember that I need to view myself in that same way. I need to view myself with that sense of compassion and understanding that we all go through things and sometimes we do need help. And I'm trying to remember that the people that actually care and that are there for me want to be there for me. And therefore I am not a burden in the way that I consider myself to be a burden. So if you do need to reach out for help, please do. Don't see yourself as a burden. Don't try to handle this all on your own. Yes, there are some messes that we have to clean up. Yes, there are certain crosses that are ours to bear, but there are also people that love us that want to be there to support us, whether that's close loved ones or even like charitable organizations or therapists who want to help you process through whatever you're going through right now and help you learn healthier coping skills. There are people that want to help you. So don't be afraid to rely on them.
And I would even say that you can also rely on other people. They're running out of fumes as well, as long as you both mutually agree to it. My boyfriend and I are obviously both stuck in the same transitionary nightmare, and we're both running on fumes, and we're like a two-pronged TP right now. Neither of us are standing completely on our own. We're just tilted into each other. And so he falls more one way one day and I hold the weight. And then the other day I fall a little bit more and he holds the weight. And we're just going back and forth right now. And I did want to make one more note on the marijuana use. There is absolutely no judgment for anybody that does use marijuana. And I know there's plenty of people that use it regularly as an everyday part of their life. And for me, maybe that will be something that I eventually do. But I started using it during an extremely stressful time, and I didn't go into it with that necessarily medicinal accommodation mindset. And so once I get back on my feet, who knows what the marijuana use is going to look like for me. So I just don't want anybody out there to feel judged or like we're calling you an addict because you're lighting up or taking edibles or anything like that. Just wanted to be clear, no judgment, because, you know, running on fumes does make me think, obviously, I'm being misunderstood, and I usually come off judgmental, and so now I need to super explain myself, but I'm going to stop, do the sunk cost fallacy, assume you guys get it, and we're going to move on to the next task on our list.
Real quick before we move on, I also want to extend that out to like psychiatric medications, because there may be times in your life when, even if you are like Autumn and I, and you normally don't want to take those things, there may be times when you legitimately need them, when you need something for anti-anxiety, when you need an antidepressant, anything along those lines. Like, there's also no shame in that. If you need that and it helps you and you are more functional with it and you're in a better headspace and it helps keep you out of like suicidal ideation or things along those lines, that's also another thing that neither Autumn or I uses, but we also do not pass judgment on it all. And there's no shame in needing a little neurochemical help sometimes.
Yes, that's accurate. I feel like Ivy and I are probably the least judgmental people, except unless you're driving too slowly in front of Ivy, she's probably going to judge the hell out of you. Or if you're trying to do a task that I would rather just do myself, I'll probably judge the hell out of you. But aside from that, least judgment you'll ever see, probably. Okay, so the next one on our list is just do it. That's where we're at. I mean, tell me we're not. Because we have nothing left. So many of us have nothing left. I don't even know if I have fumes at this point, but I don't get the luxury of not. Like, that idea of just stopping, that seems like a privilege to me that I don't have. Because if I stop, I don't have a safety net. Losing my job, having my car break down, those things could directly lead to homelessness for me. And once you're there, that is a very hard place to rise back up from with the way our society is set up. And so I don't get the luxury to not. And I feel like that's where so many of us are at right now. We just can't not. And so sometimes what you have to do is you just have to do the thing. And there will be consequences for it. And if you can plan for those consequences, so much the better. Because those days that I know I'm going to have to push through, I make sure I have all the edibles I need and the marijuana so that I can deal with the headaches that's going to come the next few days. And I've made sure I made a doctor's appointment so that I can get my headache medication because I know I'm still going to have to go to work because I'm in my probationary period and I can't use the marijuana for the pain at work. So I need to use the sumatriptan for the pain at work. And so even though I don't have the resources to be doing these things, when I find the little penny here or penny there, I do invest it to do the things to protect myself so that I can deal with the consequences of just having to do what I have to do. And on the lines of just do it for me as well, is just lose your shit. And I say that because one of the things that I do, because I just have to push through and I have to complete the task, is I put off having a breakdown. I put off falling apart. I put off the full autistic meltdown. And what happens is that it gets so much worse and the fallout is so much more horrible. Because when I put off my autistic meltdown, instead of it lasting a concentrated 10 minutes or maybe sometimes even 5, and then me just crying for a bit afterwards, it can last 2, 3, 4 hours of me losing my shit and still not getting anything done. And so it's not really benefiting me at all. And the same way with crying. If I get to the point that I just am so depressed, I just need to weep and sob, and I keep putting it off, I often start getting angry because that's how I continue to function when I'm sad. And then the anger gets in my way and I get frustrated and I still can't get anything done. And so I would say when it comes to just do it, also, if it's safe to do so, just lose your shit, get it over with, get it out of your system, and then move on. I mean, that's if you can, because I know some people are like Ivy and it's a lot harder, but for me, it's like concentrated. I'm like, I'm just going to hit level 100 for 5 minutes and then I'm good. So if you're like me, consider doing that. Consider that first time where you're like, oh my God, I'm getting agitated, but I have to finish this. Okay. What if you didn't push through? What if you just stop right now, you sit on the floor, you bawl for 5 minutes, maybe scream into a pillow, and then you get up and do it, as opposed to you keep putting it off and fumbling the task, and now you're 2 hours in and you still haven't completed it.
That's great and all. If you are like Autumn, definitely handle it that way. If you are like me, don't handle it that way. Because I am somebody for whom it actually works better if I do just deal with fallout later. As frustrating as it can be when I Scarlet O'Hara my way through life, it actually is rather effective for me to do it that way. So like, basically what it looks like for me is that I try to be as pragmatic as possible. I go into robot mode as much as I possibly can. I set my emotions aside, I put that shit on the back burner, and I think I will deal with that later, when I can, when it's an option. Right now, it is not an option. Right now, I have to be productive. I need to function, and that is what I need to focus on. So that's like what's most helpful for me. I try to just be really pragmatic, just very logical about, okay, what actually has to get done? What would be the best way for me to manage getting that done? And then I focus all of my energy and my attention on just trying to be functional, which is a task. That is definitely a chore for me to just try to be functional. So I put all of my energy into that. I put all of my eggs into the be functional basket and not into the emotion basket. And I just try to tackle the things that are most manageable. I try to look at the collective of shit I've got to figure out. And I think, okay, what can I actually handle right now? And what can be put off until later? What decisions need to be made today versus decisions that could be made tomorrow or next week or next month? What things coming up of these big changes that I'm going through, what things do I need to start researching and figuring out now? And what's only gonna stress me out more if I try to do that right now? So I try to prioritize as much as possible. I try to figure out what things are manageable and tackle those. I go into robot mode, be as pragmatic and logical as possible. I focus on functioning and I will deal with the fallout later. What that looks like, it varies. Sometimes the fallout for me, I can hold it off for weeks or months at a time. I'm not as great at that now as I used to be. It used to be a lot easier for me to completely shut off my emotions. But since I've been working on that in therapy for, I don't know, 4 years now, it's a lot harder for me to just fucking turn off that valve, flip off that switch on my emotions. And so I can't just hold off on feeling things and having my meltdown for months at a time. So what it generally looks like now is that when I feel it coming, I find half a day or a day where I just accept nothing is getting accomplished this day. Nothing's getting accomplished this day. I need to just have an emotional day where I just get it all out of my system, which is what happened 2 days ago. I didn't have any clients that day. I didn't have any like work that absolutely had to be done. And there was just a lot of shit going on that was really getting underneath my skin and I could not get away from it. And at some point during the day, I just accepted I am going to get nothing done today. My headspace is that bad. I am feeling really emotional. Like I cried a lot. I got angry a lot. Like I just had a fucking day. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to get it all out in this one day as much as possible and back up on the horse tomorrow. So for me, like I can't just have a meltdown that lasts 5 minutes, no matter how intense it is. I can't, because for me, that's not how it works. For me, it's more like slowly letting the air out of a balloon. It's like squeaky and painful and it takes a really long time and you feel kind of limp and awful afterward. But that is what meltdowns look like for me. They are a process that takes several hours or a day or a couple of days. And so I kind of like stockpile my emotions until it reaches a point. There's like a tipping point, something in my outside environment pushes me over the edge and I just have to accept today is not the day. Today, I am not getting anything done. It doesn't matter what I had planned. It doesn't matter what tasks I thought I had to do, unless it is absolutely necessary. Like if it's work or something, I will push through. But if I don't have anything like that on my schedule, I just accept that today is going to be a loss. I'm not going to be productive. I'm not going to be able to get all the things done that I wanted to do. I'm not going to feel good about myself today. I'm not going to feel good about my life today. I'm just going to feel this and get it out of my system. But I can't do it in like those small spurts like Autumn. Like for me, I lose a day or two. Or if I'm really successful at shutting off my emotions, I shut them off for months at a time. And then I lose my shit over the course of a few weeks. which that probably is not super healthy. It's probably better that I do it this way now, because losing a day or two is better than losing a month or two. But not everybody can just lose their shit over the course of a few minutes like Autumn can. I don't know if it's just because I don't feel with the same level of intensity as Autumn or what it is, but I can't do that. So if you're like Autumn, handle it like Autumn. If you're like me, handle it like me and be that slowly bleeding balloon and just squeak and fart your way through your emotions until they're all out of your system and you're just limp and weak after. You'll be better tomorrow.
It really does depend on your emotional style as to what works. But if you need to dissociate, do it. If you need to lose your shit, do it. Because again, what we're trying to do is just make it through right now. There is hope. Things are going to get better. It's really, really hard to see that right now, because part of the problem is that when all this stress comes on, we get so focused in the moment, we get stuck in survival mode. It's hard to see anything outside of the situation. And then you combine with that a lot of us are struggling with depression, which makes it a lot harder to even remember when things were good or to see the future as something positive at all. So we get stuck in the moment and we get stuck in the negativity, and then the anxiety comes in and it can feel like this is just our life. Our life is just shit forever now. But it's not. It is going to get better. It's just hard to see right now. So if we can just keep those fumes going, or if we have to get out and push this fucker down the road, then that's what we're going to do. And here's just our last idea on the list is just a few humorous suggestions. And this first one comes from my personal experience, which is part of the reason that I am even in the shit show of a transitionary period of my life. And that is that off-grid living is really fucking expensive. So I see you all on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok going, hey, you wanna go live out in the hills with some chickens and goats? Is it nice? Is it wonderful? Yes. Could you do it? Probably. Can you fucking afford to do it in our society with the laws as they're set up? Probably not legally. And so my advice is, if you're thinking about off-grid living, it's actually going to be better for you to just learn foraging skills, move to a temperate area, and live as a naked goblin in the forest. So that's my last-ditch effort offer. Don't worry about off-grid. It's too expensive. You can't afford it. Learn how to forage, move somewhere comfortable, naked goblin it up. That will be your life.
To be clear, these last-ditch efforts, don't take them seriously. Like, to a certain degree, take them seriously. Autumn is right. Living off-grid is very expensive and much more difficult than it sounds. It sounds like a wonderland. In reality, it is in fact not. But living as a naked goblin in the forest is probably not like a workable solution for most people. So our last-ditch efforts here, they really are last-ditch efforts. We do not advise you to do these things in real life. But my two last-ditch efforts are that if you don't have a support network, just join a cult. Built-in support network right away. They'll just suck you in and you will be entirely reliant on them. You will have a support network, I assure you, as long as you never question them. And then if you're not able to organize your life or make decisions for yourself, or that just sounds too exhausting for you, just join the military. Let the government own you. Then you'll never have to make a decision for yourself again. So those are our last-ditch efforts. We do not actually advise that you do them. But I guess if you're really desperate, you could do those things.
Yes, they are mostly said jokingly. I mean, I guess it depends on how desperate I get you in the future. You might see me naked in the forest if you do. I'm sorry, I don't have the resources to work out, so there's a lot of flab right now.
All right. Well, that is pretty much everything that we have for you today as far as suggestions for things that could help. So just as our couple of final notes here, the thing that I have used the most consistently throughout my life, and it becomes more effective as you get older, actually, is trusting in your success rate. The more years that you survive this shit, the more likely it is that you're probably gonna survive this shit a little bit longer, because you have more skills, you're better equipped, not your first rodeo, you've done this a few times. So trust in your success rate. If you have made it this far in life, chances are you're gonna be all right. You don't feel like you're gonna be all right, but chances are you're gonna be all right. So if all else fails and nothing else on this list works, just keep reminding yourself, somehow my crazy ass has managed to live this long. I must be doing something right. That is my final takeaway from it is, when all else fails, my crazy ass has lived this long. I'm probably gonna be all right this time too.
That piece of advice does get so much more effective as you get older. Like this time around, this rodeo of mine, whatever number this is at this point, the anxiety just isn't really there like it used to be, because I am so confident in my ability to survive life now that I know I'm going to make it through. But I will say, as you get more confident in yourself and trusting in success, you do really begin to understand Danny Glover in the Lethal Weapon movies, that I am too old for this shit. It's now like, oh, I can make it through. I just really don't want to fucking do this again. But you know you will, because you have. And so you just do it. But it does free up resources because you're not freaking out so much. And then the other final point, like Ivy said at the beginning, and we just want to reinforce that, seek help if you need to. We are stretched thin. We are close to the breaking point. So close that it can take so little for so many of us to finally just break and be done. And if we're really lucky, we do have that support network around us that can hold our pieces together while we have that breakdown until we can get it back together to keep moving forward. But not all of us do have that support network in our lives. And sometimes even if we do, that support network just isn't enough. Maybe they are just as exhausted as you, or maybe they're not a trained professional and that's what you need. If you need to seek help, do that. Like Ivy said, she's going to put up where you can find like a more long-term therapist, but there are also tons of crisis hotlines. If you go onto our website, which Ivy will tell you here in a little bit how to get there, and you go to our resources, you can click on crisis helplines there. And there's a whole list that adhere to different, you know, populations, or whether you want to text or call or email. And then of course, just remember that in the United States, the suicide hotline is 988. So there is no shame in seeking help. It's hard right now, guys. It is for so many of us. It is a struggle. And so if you need to reach out for some help, do that, so that you can get to the better days when you do have a little bit of gas in your tank. Ivy, do you want to go ahead and tell them all of our connecty bits so they know how to find the resources I referenced?
Absolutely. You can find us at our website, www.differentfunctional.com. We are on Facebook as Different Functional, and we are on Instagram and TikTok as Different_Functional. We are also on Patreon as Different Functional. If you want to drop us a line by email, we are differentfunctional@gmail.com. We also have merch on TeePublic, but if you want to find it, because they're stingy bitches about letting you show up in search engines, you can go to our homepage of our website, and right there is a link that will take you directly to our TeePublic storefront. We have lots of good stuff on there. So if you are of the neurodivergent variety or have some mental health issues that you have some sense of humor about, you might go check out our merch. We have a lot of really good funny stuff on there. But yeah, I think those are all of the ways to reach us. If you're enjoying the podcast, if you feel like it would be helpful for other people that you know, please tell people about us. Help get the word out there. Share some of our posts on social media. Leave us a rating and review. Like anything along those lines, we sure would appreciate it. We have been getting an influx of new listeners over the last few months. And boy, do we appreciate you guys. We are so glad that you found us and that you're sticking around and you're listening to the episodes and you're supporting us on social media. We very much appreciate you. We would very much like to get to know more about you and build this little community of neurodivergent folks. So please reach out to us in any way, and thank you for listening like you do and supporting us.
And I'd like to send a special shout out to our Instagram folks this week, because we do see you seeing us. We see the increased interaction, the increased followers, and we are really appreciating all of that. So thank you all of you on Instagram, especially this week, because there has been a definite jump there. TikTok, you need to catch back up. Though I don't think it's fully TikTok's fault, because I keep getting shadow banned. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm trying to figure it out, but I'm running low on resources, so it may be a bit before I do. And so we are going to go ahead and wrap up today. This episode is a little bit shorter than normal. And hey, that's one of the bonuses of when you're running on fumes. Sometimes you become really efficient because you have no other choice. So Ivy and I were actually able to stay on task, and now you have extra resources to hopefully be able to tackle something in your life today. Best of luck. And as always, remember, different does not mean defective.